So the Paramatma seems to appear and disappear in his various manifestations. I'll just read the translation of the two verses again. This is Lord Krishna speaking to his father, Vasudeva. The Supreme Spirit Paramatma is indeed one. He is self-luminous and eternal, transcendental and devoid of material qualities. But through the agency of the very mode he has created, is the one Supreme Truth manifests as many among the expansions of those modes. The elements of ether, air, fire, water and earth become visible, invisible, minute or extensive, as they manifest in various objects. Similarly, the Paramatma, though one, appears to become many. So, Lord Krishna, discussing the nature of Paramatma and also the creation of, well, we can say creation of Paramatma, although the material creation is manifested through the agency of three Vishnu forms of the Lord, three Purusha avatars. The original Purusha avatar is Mahavishnu, or Karanadakshaya Vishnu, who lies on the causal ocean. And when he breathes out, the universes come out from the pores of his body. And initially, there is darkness and silence only within each of the universes, so that Supreme Being Mahavishnu expands himself into each and every universe in the form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he fills the bottom portion of the universe with the perspiration coming from his own body. Then he lies upon that ocean on the Seshanaga bed. Lord Balaram is expanded as Krishna is expanded Lord Vishnu. Balaram is expanded as Seshanaga, who acts as the bed of the Lord. Seshanaga is a gigantic snake and has many hoods, and those hoods are all repeating the glories of the Lord constantly. But no hood ever repeats itself, and no hood tells the same pastimes as any other hood. So the pastimes of the Lord, therefore, they are unlimited, infinite, unlimited, and in this way Seshanaga is always glorifying the Supreme Lord. So, from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes the lotus flower, and on top of the lotus flower, Lord Brahma is manifested. Lord Brahma is considered the first created being within the universe. He is not created through the agency of Lakshmi, but rather he is simply self-manifested. Svayambhu is another name for Lord Brahma. Then Lord Brahma is considered to be the secondary creator. He is responsible for creating the different planetary systems, the different types of bodies which the living entities get in the material world. So then Lord Mahavishnu, it said, he glances upon the material creation and impregnates living entities into the different life forms, the different bodies, that is. The actual life, of course, is coming from those living entities, those souls. Those ones that are manifesting the material creation, they have been in a dormant stage. When the material energy is in a dormant stage, then the conditioned souls also remain in a dormant stage within the body of Mahavishnu. And then when he glances upon the material energy, then those living entities become active. They inhabit the various kinds of species of life, bodies created by Lord Brahma. And in this way, the universe is activated. due to the presence of the living entities. And while the material creation is manifested, those living entities, they're transmigrating from one body to another, and they're going sometimes in higher, sometimes in lower species. But they remain in conditioned state, unless, of course, they get human life and they take to the process of Krishna consciousness, in which case they can be released from that cycle of birth and death. But normally they're just going on the Nityabhata condition, so they're just going on transmigrating from one form of life to another according to their karma. So in this way, living entities are active, but and they're also accompanied by the third Purusha avatar, who is the super soul. And he, although he is one, as mentioned here, still he is, you know, spread throughout the entire creation. He's present in the heart of all living entities. He's present within the atom. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesyarjana tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. I am seated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and I am directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. So the Paramatma is therefore accompanying the living entity, helping the living entity, giving him intelligence. Sarvasya chaham priti sarvishto matas mitir gyanam aponam cha. This is also another verse from the Gita, 15th chapter, that Lord Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So he gives help to the living entity. It depends on the desires of the living entity. If the living entity desires to be Krishna conscious, Krishna gives him assistance to come in contact with devotees, to find a bona fide spiritual master, to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, and to become spiritually elevated and eventually attain full Krishna consciousness and be in a position to return to the spiritual world. So he will help, he will give the knowledge to such a sincere soul through the Vaishnava, the Guru, the Vaishnava, the scriptures, and the sincere soul, he will apply that knowledge in his life and he will make a spiritual progress. Krishna will help him to forget his material hankerings and desires, will help him to become more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, if a living entity is very desirous of material sense enjoyment and getting property and name and fame in the material world, then Krishna can help him to realize those aspirations and also to be forgetful of his spiritual existence and spiritual life. So it depends a lot on the desire of the living entities. Of course, Lord Krishna himself comes to distribute transcendental knowledge, not only in his original form as Krishna, but in so many other forms. And he wants the living entities to take the Krishna consciousness, to return to the spiritual world, but he's not forcing. So he's giving the option. And there are a fair few options in the material world. Many species of life that living entity can be born into. Although basically the similar kind of activities are going on in all the species. Struggle to exist, to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. These activities, you know, preoccupy the living entities. They're fully absorbed in these activities due to the strong nature of material conditioning. But still, even, you know, if a living entity goes in the body of an insect or a bear or whatever, super soul is accompanying him and helping him in his whatever situation he gets into. So in this way, Krishna always remains there for the living entity. He never abandons the living entity. Living entity may abandon Krishna or try to abandon Krishna, but Krishna is always there, giving support, supplying the necessities of life. Krishna is the maintainer of all. Nityo Nityas, Cheto Chetananam. There are many eternals, and among all the eternals, Krishna is the chief eternal. He is the support of all the other eternals. So in this way, living entities are trapped in the cycle of birth and death, but they have the good fortune to be accompanied by Paramatma. And Prabhupada, of course, gave the famous example, I think it's from Svetasvata Upanishad, of the two birds in the tree. One bird is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Sometimes they're sweet, sometimes they're bitter. The other bird is just witnessing and watching. And that eating bird sometimes can move to another tree, and his friend, the witnessing bird, goes with him, gives him some tips, some intelligence here and there. But that eating bird never feels real satisfaction. So the fruits are temporary. Fruits of material enjoyment are temporary. You can enjoy a little bit, and then some problems arise, some complexities. There's so many problems and sufferings in the material world as well, which preoccupy the living entity. If the living entity is fortunate, he turns to that witnessing bird, and he tries to develop some rapport, some relationship. And the more that relationship develops, the more he feels satisfied. The less he needs to, hanker for the fruits of the tree, the more he's satisfied just with a deep relationship with the witnessing bird. That's the super soul. So if we're just, preoccupied with trying to enjoy the senses and pleasures of material life, and we don't pay attention to the Lord who is in our heart, then we'll go on transmigrating, we'll experience different facets of the material world, but we never feel really satisfied at heart. But if we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, if we develop our relationship with Krishna, with the Paramatma, through the means which are given to us by Krishna and the Acharyas, chanting the holy names, worshipping the deity, hearing the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and engaging in devotional service, varieties of devotional service. So these activities, although one might consider them to be, on the external platform or material platform, they're actually not material because they're connected to Krishna. And Krishna's name is not material, Krishna's form is not material. The scriptures are not material, they're considered to be non-different from Krishna. So if we respectfully associate with Krishna, by hearing about him, by chanting his holy name, by chanting his glories, by associating with his devotees and serving him in various ways, keeping the deity in the center of our lives. So if we perform that process of devotional service with attention, and gradually we can develop more and more attachment to Krishna, more and more affection for Krishna. More and more Krishna becomes the center of our lives. So in that way, a living entity can develop the kind of consciousness which is necessary to live in the spiritual world. That is a consciousness of always putting Krishna first and serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees as best as we can. This is the preparation for life in the spiritual world. And life in the spiritual world is the same thing. It is to be always associating with Krishna and his devotees and engaging in their service and glorifying the Lord. Only, of course, there everyone's form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. There's no birth, death, old age and disease. There's no ignorance and suffering. So that is the position which everyone would like to get to. That is actually a position of pure enjoyment, but the living entity's mentality isn't that, let me enjoy first. His mentality is always to please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, then automatically living entity also become pleased and satisfied at heart. So, therefore, it's very important for us to understand the workings of material nature, to understand how the Paramatma is present in everything. We were reading a verse in Auckland the other day about how the Supreme Lord is always eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, but the material philosophers and scientists, they're always speculating about his nature. They're always trying to analyze the material elements to become very expert even in doing that. But they miss the point that the Lord is the source of all these material elements. The Lord is behind everything. Prabhupada, you know, he definitely criticized these scientists and mundane philosophers very strongly for this kind of activity. They're working so hard, they have so many institutes, they do so much research, but they have not understood the conclusion that Krishna is the source of everything. So therefore it's like so many zeros. Unless you put a one before the zeros, they won't have any value. When you put a one, then it becomes, one zero becomes 10, two, that becomes 100, three becomes 1,000, like that. So we have to understand Krishna's presence in everything and how everything is connected to Krishna. So we can study the material energy. And Prabhupada encouraged that. You know, people can go on with their lives, with their study, with their jobs, with their, you know, family life, with their society, but keep the connection to Krishna. Keep Krishna in the center. That gives a value to everything. Otherwise, you may be studying in this university or have this kind of degree or that kind of degree. It may be helpful just to manipulate the material energy, but ultimately, it won't give us the real satisfaction of life or take us to the real goal of life. It will just keep us circulating in the cycle of birth and death. So material knowledge is all right if joined with spiritual understanding and therefore used in a spiritual way. The devotee who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he sees everything as connected to Krishna. Sees everything as spiritual. Prabhupada said like that. Material means forgetfulness of Krishna, and spiritual means remembrance of Krishna. The Mayavadis, they think that everything is Maya. Everything that has individuality, all the varieties of the material world, even the form of the Lord, they'll say, is Maya. That is Mayavadis. There are Brahmavadis also who are impersonalists, who are more respectful towards the form of the Lord. They may follow the path of bhakti, thinking that it will lead them to Brahman. So their understanding is incorrect. They think Brahman is superior to the personality of Godhead. The personality of the Lord is just a manifestation of Brahman, just as the personalities of various demigods, they say, are also manifestations of Brahman. But Mayavadis say that everything is Maya. So in either case, they're both impersonalists, but Mayavadis are a lot more offensive. Both, especially Mayavadis, they say you have to reject everything if you want to become spiritually advanced. You have to stop acting, stop talking, you have to just meditate and merge into Brahman. Therefore, they say you have to become a sannyasi if you want to make spiritual progress. You have to give up everything. But Rupa Goswami, he doesn't support this. He calls it Bhavu Vairagya. It is a false renunciation. He says, Anasaktasya Visayan, Yatarma Puyunjita, Nirbanda Krishna Sambande, Yukta Vairagya Uchate, Prapanchita Tayabhuvya, Harisam Bandhu Vastuna, Mumukshavi Purityago, Balgu Vairagi Kachyate. That one who sees everything in relation to Krishna and uses everything in the service of Krishna, he is properly situated above possessiveness. But on the other hand, one who rejects everything, not understanding its connection with Krishna, he is not properly situated in renunciation. So that is a Bhava Vairagya, rejecting everything, not understanding its connection to the Supreme Being. But Yukta Vairagya, or practical renunciation, means to see everything as Krishna's energy, to use everything in the service of Krishna, not to see it as my property, but it is Krishna's property. He is the ultimate owner. We may be looking after something to use in the service of Krishna, but ultimately everything belongs to him. So in that way, a devotee lives within the world and may be active in any sphere of life, but practices the process of bhakti, and therefore develops that connection with the Lord in the heart, the Supreme Personality of God, goes on developing it more and more. This is the real goal of human life, and this is the only real shelter also. So, Hare Krishna. Any question or any comment? Yeah.
When we talk about material creation and things, we're used to sort of thinking of our planet, but, there are many other living entities, the same in the galaxies, all this and that, of the living entities on all those planets.
Yeah, probably think. I can't say whether exactly every planet, but basically yes. I mean, Prabhupada always spoke like that. There are various kinds of living entities and various planets. We may not be able to see all of them, but they exist all over the creation. There are higher planets, there are lower planets, some are more hellish conditions, some are more heavenly. But Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode never comes back to the material world. Yeah.
You're talking about how Krishna helps the sincere devotee. I'm just wondering, what's the strict definition of sincerity? It seems like there's different levels of sincerity.
Well, Krishna will, of course, he'll help everyone who's trying to be, to progress in spiritual life. In 12th chapter, he says, best if you're just spontaneously attracted to serving. If you can't do that, follow the regular principle of bhakti yoga. If you can't do that, try to work for me. If you can't do that, try to renounce some of the fruits of your activities. Give to me. If you can't do that, meditate on me. If you can't do that, cultivate knowledge in me. Basically, he's trying to encourage everyone. If someone is showing some sincerity in respect to spiritual life, trying to start somewhere, Krishna will encourage. But of course, if a devotee has become very serious, he'll attract Krishna's mercy more. Prabhupada uses the term pure devotee, but he uses it differently in different circumstances. So sometimes when he says pure devotee, it means pure unalloyed devotee, like really topmost level of devotee. But then again, he uses it in a broader sense to signify persons who have actually accepted the path of Krishna consciousness. It means they accept the authority of Krishna, they accept the authority of Parampara, and they're endeavoring to follow those instructions in their lives. There may be some mistakes or imperfection, but basically they've accepted that path and dedicated to that path. So they also probably call them pure devotees. In fact, he said a pure devotee can rise from being a Kanishka to a Madhyam to a Uttam, all on the path of being a pure devotee. So pure becomes a purer and purer devotee. So, that the sincerity is to accept the instructions of the Lord and the Parampara and drive the flowers in our lives. That's what will attract the mercy of Krishna. Yeah.
How can we judge if we are able to give up material desire or if we have to act on them? What's the level of how much can we actually, how can we judge how much is the tolerance of giving up material desire?
What's the last part?
How can we be able to indulgate if we can give up material desire or if we have to act on them?
Well, therefore we take guidance from gurus, sadhus, jastra. There's a, of course, prompting of the super soul is there also. And we, you know, a devotee's intelligence develops as he goes on practicing Krishna consciousness. So, you know, it becomes so much sharper to discriminate what's the right path. But at the same time, it's advised that we listen to, you know, advice of senior devotees, find a guru who can advise us, guide us, help us. We can discuss these things.
What about daily decisions, like little things all through the day, or you can decide to increase our Krishna consciousness or to keep on the same track? How we can.
Well, we have to sharpen our intelligence by hearing. And but through experience also, and the super soul also guided, a devotee becomes, you know, capable to take such decisions through steady practice of Krishna consciousness. If there's any doubt, you try to consult someone else whom you respect. But we can't have somebody, you know, telling us 24 hours a day, do this, do that, it's alright for a little child or a neophyte, you know, but someone becomes grown up, is expected to be able to, you know, discriminate a bit. Yeah.
I thought I made one statement. He said that even speaking made independent are the necessities of the Mahaprabhu. That seems like unless one's very advanced, it's very difficult to, you know, avoid a certain area of material satisfaction.
Yeah, that's
maybe the same, mate. How do we know what to renounce and what not to renounce? So it seems like you want to have those things when you're in the business state until you become very advanced.
But so do we do them in Krishna consciousness? That's the point. Those things are there. Because satisfying the senses is there in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, we have very nice prasad, for example. Singing and dancing, you know. There's friendship among devotees. Those things are there, but they're in the Krishna conscious way. So, you know, I don't think we should be too, you know, worried or troubled to, you know, become highly austere, you know, not sleep the night before Kadashi or the night after and not eat for 2.5 days or something. We don't have to, you know, be too extreme. Prabhupada, you know, he recommended to take prasadam on Kadashi. Don't take grains, don't take things like that. Take prasad, go on with your service, go on hearing and chanting. The senses will be satisfied, but more importantly, the soul is also satisfied. You just have to try and do everything in Krishna consciousness. Okay, Hare Krishna. Rantara Shiva Bhagavan Ki, 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 Shiva Bhagavan Ki,